very positive. The calls we've received in the office very much favoring our action, and the emails that we've received as well. I think you know, Ian, this is not a new position for me, of course. This reflects really what's been my approach and voting record since I've been in the Congress. Proud to have the strongest record of any Republican in the United States House of Representatives on renewable energy and the environment. What is new is that in this resolution, I bring along 10 other Republicans. So there's now 11 of us. So, you know, that is news. And, you know, for us, what we're endeavoring to do is really to bring our party back to its roots and to be conservative. I think, you know, when you go to the very heart of what a conservative believes, it's about protecting resources. So the same inclination that really drives us to get back to a balanced budget over time, it's because we want future generations to have the same choices and freedoms that we had. It's the same with the environment. I mean, I really want to see us make good choices, bring forward good policies, because we want future generations to get to enjoy the earth the same way we did. Our policies must be sustainable. So, you know, this is, I believe, if it's done in the right way, absolutely can be pro-growth. It can help with job creation. You know, when we make these investments into research, development, and prototyping for renewable energy, we will drive down the total cost. And when we do that, it will democratize energy and it will transform the way we produce, convey, and consume energy. So, you know, this has been really the body of work since I've been in the Congress. I'm excited that I have other Republicans that are joining me now. And we think it's really important for the country because, you know, protecting these resources, and now we're talking in this case about natural resources, is something that is an American issue. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's not a liberal or conservative issue. It's an American issue. And quite candidly, it goes beyond that. It's really a human issue for the world. So I'll give you one example of in New York State where I just think it's good news and there's so much untapped potential. We had a coal-fired power plant at Fort Drum, and it was providing energy for our servicemen and women, certainly local jobs. And that coal-fired power plant went down, and it went out of business. A year later, it came back up, and it was refitted as a biomass power plant. It is doing very well. It's producing energy for our servicemen and women. It's created jobs in the local economy up there in Watertown, and it's good for the environment. We have so much untapped potential when you look at renewable energy, how it can be a major driver of the economy. This is where I believe we can make a huge difference by working together in a nonpartisan way with public and private investments. We can see significant increases in biomass, in photovoltaics, in wind power. Really a tremendous promise here for major job creation in New York.
I want to touch on the politics of it a little bit. You were joined by Representative Hanna and Stefanik, both New York colleagues. And as you mentioned, you have about 11 Republicans altogether on this, but that leaves another 200 or more in the House. And I think it's fair to say the leadership in the House and the Senate, you know, they've not been welcoming when it comes to, you know, working on climate change historically. What are next steps in terms of convincing the rest of the party to go along?
Well, I think that's why your first question was really an important one. You said you led off this interview by asking what was the reception. I think that is the right question at this point because my colleagues, I think when they see, many of them, I think, were afraid to take a first step, and we were ready to lead. As you know, I've been out front on these issues for a long time, and I think when they see that we have an electorate that's ready to rally and to do this in a very smart way that's going to be conducive for all of us, I think you'll see more and more Republicans join my resolution. We crafted it, and I very much, I must say, it was constituent-driven. I had a lot of help from some very passionate people in the 19th Congressional District who really want to make sure that we bequeath an earth that's sustainable for future generations, and they helped me on this. And also my colleagues. You know, we went through an iterative process where we allowed these other 10 Republicans to have an opportunity to go through the language, to feel comfortable, to massage it. That was on purpose to really to bring about a consensus. And now that we're getting a strong response here, I'm hopeful that other Republicans who were knowing that it was the right thing to do but really worried about the political ramifications will start to see more support there. And, you know, Ian, in other interviews, I've talked about why it is that I think that my district is moving in this direction. But I think for anybody listening the first time, it's worth reviewing. You know, the first thing is our area in upstate New York has been, you know, if you look at the damage that we have incurred from Hurricanes Irene, Lee, and Sandy, significant damage. I mean, we're talking 300-500-year floods in over the course of like 3.5 years. And you either believe that we had a 1 in over 100 million chance, or you believe, as I do, that we have a new normal. And that's part of what we're dealing with is increased frequency and potency of these violent storms. And in addition to that, we have seen sea levels rising, and we have seen an increase in invasive species in upstate New York. In my county alone, we've had several, and in Columbia County. And so these are issues that our farmers are grappling with now. It's certainly going to have impact across the full spectrum of the economy. So particularly since the tragedy of Hurricanes Irene and Lee, as I have worked on these issues to lead, I have received minimal pushback. And, you know, and let me say one other thing, Ian. I think in some ways it makes sense that a former soldier would be the one leading on this because, look, you know, soldiers, you can try to create an alternative universe and live in it. It never works. I mean, we have to recognize the reality. We have to live in the real world. I mean, soldiers deal with the science every day because bullets, sadly, rip through skin. And so we have to deal with the physics and the science and the reality. And if you also, one other analogy, if you think about how our country came together to deal with the challenge of the Soviet Union, and, you know, we rose to that challenge in a consensus, and we put major investment into research, development, and prototyping to make sure that we were in a position to prevail in the Cold War. And we're very fortunate that at the end of the 1980s, the Cold War ended without a major conflict. And what we also received as a positive collateral, supercomputer, the Internet. And we ushered in the information age that came as a benefit to all this investment into research, development, and prototyping. And what I want to see, we won't be able to do it on the same scale, but I want to see more investments, public and private investments, into renewable energy and energy efficiencies. It will transform the way we live, it will help create jobs, and it will be good for the environment.
Just to clarify, Congressman, I want to make sure I have this right. So the group of Republicans you've gathered here, you and 10 others, are saying the science on climate change is settled and it's largely man-made. Do I have that right?
Not largely. What we say is, with a sense of humility, is that we see the science as we see a changing climate and we see that humans are contributing to it. To what extent? We're not clear. But that's why we need more consensus and more research so that we can have a better understanding. But one thing is abundantly clear is that humans are contributing to it. We just don't know the extent. We need to focus to learn more and then to really to come together in ways that are economically viable and broadly supported to take action so that we can move in the right direction.